Our first lesson this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old.
Our first gospel lesson of the new year comes from John in the first chapter, and we will read through the 18th verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It was the summer of 1928. Alexander Fleming had just returned from summer vacation with his family. Fleming was a medical researcher, and before leaving for vacation, had stacked petri dishes of bacteria on a bench in the corner of his laboratory in the basement of St. Mary's Hospital in London. Upon returning, he began to sort through each container and noticed something unusual about one in particular. One culture had been mistakenly left open and was contaminated with a fungus. A visible mold was growing, and there was a clear ring around it. To his astonishment, the area immediately around the mold was free of any bacterial growth. Fleming famously remarked, "That's funny." He concluded that the mold emitted something which suppressed and broke down the bacteria. The world would later come to know what Fleming discovered as penicillin, the world's first antibiotic. With his discovery, millions of lives were saved during World War II. Fleming would go on to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. He would be knighted by the King of England. He would later go on to say, "When I woke up just after dawn that morning, I certainly didn't plan to revolutionize all of medicine, and I suppose that's exactly what I did." Alexander Fleming found a solution to a problem. Prior to the mass production of penicillin, people died every year from various kinds of infections. Penicillin was the solution to the problem of previously untreatable diseases. As we begin the new year, what if rather than making a resolution, we became part of a new solution? Imagine what 2017 would look like if we became part of a solution to a problem, personal or public, that had previously seemed unsolvable. Today, we will reflect on what it means to find the spiritual power to solve the problems we face. As we usher in a new year, we continue our celebration of Christmas. The light that began to be lit during Advent has become fully illuminated in Christmastide. The darkness has given way to the light. Yet, if we're honest, it seems as though the darkness stays with us. Somehow the darkness is still present. We see it in our lives, in the lives of others, and in the world around us. We all know someone who has been debilitated by the darkness of addiction. We ourselves may have known the darkness of depression. We don't have to look far to see the shadow of poverty cast throughout the greater Philadelphia area. The darkness seems powerful and present. The problem of darkness may be one of the most pressing issues when we think about the Christian faith and the theological concepts within it. How can we reconcile the problem of darkness with the existence of a good, loving God? The dilemma of the problem of darkness, this concept has been known as theodicy. The term theodicy was coined in 1710 in the writings of Gottfried Leibniz. In his essays, he sought to show that darkness or evil in the world was not incompatible with the goodness and sovereignty of God. He argued that despite the darkness around us, our world is the best of all possible worlds. As thoughtful people, we may ask, how do we know this to be true? What is the reason for believing that the darkness of our world is not greater than the Creator? The answer is the incarnation. The arrival of Christ, the birth of light in our world. Light was the solution to the problem of darkness. When we think of light appearing in the Bible, we may think of these words, "In the beginning." These words from the beginning of John's Gospel will have new meaning today as we begin worship here on the first day of the year. If those words sound familiar, John is echoing the first words of Scripture itself, in the beginning. As the author of Genesis speaks about creation, the coming of the Lord, John also speaks about God's new creation in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The light was in the beginning, and the light came into the world again, in a fresh and in a new way. Jesus' existence certainly wasn't new. He existed from the beginning, but he took on new form, a human form. In Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible known as The Message, he writes that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The neighborhood of humanity was illuminated like never before by the light that darkness could not overcome. God entered our world to solve a problem that seemed unsolvable. Humanity had lost its way in the darkness, became distracted, distanced from God. Salvation became the solution to our separation from God. Salvation is God's gracious act of deliverance from the darkness of sin to the light of life. As John so poetically describes, we can receive and believe the grace of the gospel, the light of Christ, and become children of God. Just as creation began in Genesis with God saying, "Let there be light," so creation was restored by the light of the world becoming human. Solving the problem of separation required going back to the start, returning to the beginning. Separation itself, especially from those you love, can be hard to even imagine, a hard idea to consider. Could you imagine being separated from your family as a child, even at 5 years old? That is what took place in the life of Saroo Brierley. In 2013, Saroo published a story about how when he grew up in India, and one faithful night in particular that would change his life forever. Growing up impoverished in a small Indian town, one night he had gone to a train station seeking to scavenge for food and for lost coins. He went with his older brother, and when it got late, Saroo fell asleep on a bench, his brother saying that he would come back and check on him later. His brother never came back. When he woke up, he was alone, disoriented, confused, wondering where his brother could be. He walked on to an empty train at the station, thinking he would wait there for his brother. He fell asleep. Hours later, Saroo woke up, the train speeding in motion to an unknown destination. When the train stopped, he was over 1,000 miles from his home. With nowhere to turn, after spending time homeless on the street, he ended up in an orphanage. Sadly, there was no success finding his mother, who never stopped looking for him. Saroo was alone, separated from those he loved most. While he was tragically lost, he was eventually adopted by a couple in Australia. He was raised by a loving couple who became his new parents. While he enjoyed a good life in Australia and received a good education, he never forgot where he came from. His adoptive mother hung a map of India on his wall growing up. He woke up every morning and saw that map. He said it kept the memories of his birth and his home and his family alive in his mind. Eventually, Saru decided to try and track down his birth family. Admittedly, it was like trying to find a needle in a haystack. It was an impossible task, an unsolvable mystery. He would have flashes of places he used to know, people he used to remember. And one day, a new technology changed everything. Saru discovered Google Earth. He knew what his hometown looked like, and he sought out to use satellite images of Google Earth to retrace his steps. Finding home now seemed possible. He created a search radius around the town he eventually landed in on the train. He saw a station one day that he recognized. Everything seemed to match with his memory, and so he made his pilgrimage back to India. He showed up at the doorstep of the house where he was born. He walked around the corner and he saw three women. And the woman in the middle stepped forward, and he thought, "This is my mother." They embraced. He was home. He was reunited with his family. Saru's incredible story recently became a major motion picture called Lion. Saru never forgot where he came from. He may have been lost for 25 years, but he eventually found his way home. Google Earth was the solution to Saru's separation problem. Just as Saru retraced his steps home, we can follow the truth of Scripture to solve the problems that we face. We can more effectively find solutions to the problems we seek to solve when we remember where we come from. As John's gospel testifies, we have a spiritual power as children of God. John doesn't follow the pattern of the other gospel writers. No details are included of the birth narrative. Perhaps there is a reason why John's gospel pays little attention to the details of Jesus' birth. In reflecting on John's gospel, David Luce, president at the Lutheran Seminary here in Philadelphia, writes that Christmas is not really Jesus' birthday at all. Rather, it is ours. Christmas means that we have become children of God, born of the same light that saved the world 2,000 years ago. We too have the same spiritual power to solve the problems of our world. In beginning a new year, we can take part in creating new opportunities for God's grace to find a place in our lives. The Holy Spirit invites us to discover solutions to the problems that plague our communities, that seem unsolvable. In a new way, the light of Christ becomes even brighter here in the church as the new year dawns. Despite the darkness around us, even amidst the injustice and hardship we see, today we testify, along with John, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Here's a solution exercise that was recommended to me recently. For every problem you want to solve, for yourself or for the community, write down 20 possible solutions and make one thing on your list something that you could take action on immediately. whatever you do, don't forget where you came from. We are born of light. We are children of the light. God's power is present in us to help solve the problems of our world. Solving the problems we face will require our light to shine in the darkness. The light of Christ is the solution to the darkness of our world. The darkness will never overcome the light. Amen.